Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Good afternoon and welcome to Kosher Cravings. So today I've got Lauren Bulkin with me, one of my favorite foodies, and we are going to share some exciting recipes and ideas for Shavuot, which is always a very hard thing in our home because we are such meat lovers. But welcome to the show, Lauren.
Thank you. Hello, Sha. How are you and how was your trip?
Oh, Lauren, it was wonderful. It was a great 4 weeks. And visiting my children, my grandchildren, went over for a simcha. And I threw in a demo.
I can't believe it. How? Okay, in a foreign country.
I know.
Unbelievable. And all the products are different.
Everything's different, but somehow we just got it together. The funniest thing. Oh, I'll tell you what we made. Okay, so I did it for Joanne Dove. I'm sure that a lot of you will remember Robertson Dove, although I think she immigrated many years ago. But she started a new charity called, what's it called again? Oh, I've forgotten. Yona? Yes, that's right. Anyway, so I taught the ladies of London. It was a beautiful, somebody's private home, which had a kitchen stroke playroom, which was probably the size of my house. Anyway, and I taught them how to make Papenwurst sarties, bunny chow, biltong salad, monkey gland sauce.
They must have loved it.
And it was just so much fun. I mean, we really had a lot of fun. But I must tell you something. When I asked them, you said, can you get all the products there? I said to them, please, I need a loaf of government bread.
And they didn't know what you were talking about.
What on earth are you talking about? I mean, yeah, it's like
Standard thing,
yeah. Anyway, so I managed to find a government bread to one of the bakeries, which looks like our government bread anyway. But another thing, the piece de resistance was a Purev milk tart. Okay.
Now I'm finna tell me.
It was, first of all, my daughter-in-law and I spent days trying to get it really right, okay? So this Purev, it's made with coconut condensed milk.
Okay.
And coconut milk. And
saw that recipe over Pesach for the coconut condensed milk, but you mix the tinned coconut milk with sugar. Is that right? And then you boil it. No.
Well, we're going to have to do it like that in South Africa because
yes.
I've been trying with the Beth Din, with everyone. I'm trying to get condensed milk here. You can get it, but it hasn't got a hechsher.
What do you mean?
The coconut condensed
milk. Oh, I see what you mean.
The milk has.
Yes.
Anyway, so it would be a 2-to-1. 2 cups of milk to 1 cup of sugar, and you'd boil it until it reduces to half. You can add some vanilla essence as well. But there, they've got condensed milk by the liter. And it just really worked so well. Did a malva pudding. Learn from that. Never double up on your malva pudding. Because somehow, even though you double up on the glaze and the beautiful syrup that goes on it afterwards, it doesn't penetrate through if you're doing quite a thick malva pudding.
You've almost got to do it on the
You've got to do two separate
tin.
Ones so that
yeah.
it goes all the way through in
a
single layer.
Oh, I see, because it was too high.
It was just too thick, the pudding. You
yes.
know, obviously, the dish was a bit too small. But we made a bit more and
I must have loved every second of it.
They did. It was terrific
and it was fun.
And they loved this. I was nervous, the spiciness of the curry and in the bunny chow. So we made mini bunny chows and we passed everything around.
Beautiful.
And then we made mini wraps with chicken and beautiful chutney, the monkey gland sauce. And they just love the stories behind it. They love the stories behind, where did bunny chow come from? He has some horrible names. Bunny chow and monkey gland. Anyway.
Never thought of it like that.
But the minute I land in London, what's the first thing I do? I go straight to Kosher Kingdom and I buy turkey breasts. I wasn't nervous to go to Kosher Kingdom after all the drama that's been going on in
London.
In London, Golders Green. We need to support our
yes.
ours.
Yes, I think you must have fear. To be proudly Jewish.
And yeah, absolutely. And off I went, got my beautiful turkey breast. You get Mexican turkey breast. You get smoked turkey breast. Oh,
I know. Well, why is there no turkey here?
I think you can get it like at the end of the year sometimes.
Yes. Yeah.
You can get, but not smoked turkey breast.
No.
It's beautiful. Anyway, and that's my story of London.
Looks like you had a fabulous, fabulous time.
I did. You're there and you're loving your grandchildren there and then you're missing your grandchildren here. No. And then you come back and then you miss them there. It's hard.
You're pulled in a million. You've actually got to stop and kind of just enjoy the moment that you're there.
Exactly.
I force myself to just stop thinking about going and just enjoy the time that I have there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I do get very sad. Like the last day, just become very quiet and withdrawn.
Mm.
Then you get on the plane and you get excited. You're going home. Yeah. Anyway. Okay, so now we've got to get into Shavuot. And it's always been such a hard thing in our home, Shavuot, because I'm so geared for Purim and Fleishik. I'm so geared for that. I mean, I have minimal amount of milchik things. In fact, I must tell you, I have better pots and pans in London than I do here. Yeah. I do. Every time I go, I buy something beautiful and then I say, okay, I'm going to take it back. And then I'm overweight and I go, okay, I'll get it another time and I leave it there. Anyway, but so as I say, so milchiks was always like, quite exciting. But also quite nerve-wracking.
Now, you know what? Before, we used to love milk because we loved the milk dessert. But now, as you said, you can turn anything parav.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You really can.
Yes.
But as I said, we're going to work on that condensed milk. And let's see what we come up with.
So tell me what you're making for Shabbat.
You know what? I started writing everything down. I did the lunches.
Yes.
So then I thought, okay, so for lunches we always have milchik. So I will do, I'll do first our lunch. So I leave my soup in my crock pot. Although, I mean, I'll be able to cook on Friday. Yeah, first day. But I just make a nice minestrone soup. And then we can have cheese on top.
Yes.
And I have a lot of different breads. With feta and, you know, all different sort of things like that and garlic and different things to start. Yeah. And I actually also make, in Jewish life, I've got a whole lot of recipes there, a creamy white onion soup.
Mm, I'm looking at that over your shoulder.
Yeah, which is actually.
Tell me.
It's so easy to make. It's just a lot of onions. And that's why I actually like making that in a crock pot. Funnily enough, I have a milchik crock pot. Would you believe it?
Yes. And what do you make?
I don't
in
have
there?
So many milchik pots
things
and pans.
A milchik crock pot.
But I've got a milchik crock pot. Crazy. Anyway, I think it was a Pesach one that I just turned.
Okay.
I don't know what happened. Anyway, let's go to an ad break. And when I come back.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
You're listening to Kosher Cravings. I'm chatting to Lauren Bilkin, one of my favorite foodies, and we are talking about Shavuot. And for Lauren, it's a lot easier. She loves her milk.
I love my milk foods. My family is happy to eat milk.
Yeah,
man.
They don't like fish. They don't like, I don't know. Anyway.
I mean, even while you were talking, I thought you could literally make a bunny chow with a fish curry for Shavuot.
Exactly.
That would be unbelievable. You know, that South Indian fish curry that I always talk about.
Yes.
In a beautiful bunny chow with some, what's that stuff with the yogurt that you serve with it? Raita.
Yes.
Would be absolutely wonderful.
Could be. In fact, we could actually cook with yogurt.
Yes.
Because it's always something difficult when you're making
and
a curry.
And even naan breads you could make, because you could use the yogurt to go with your curry, which would be beautiful. I mean, you can eat curry, spicy food on Shavuot. There's no reason. It doesn't have
absolutely.
To be sweet.
Absolutely.
So I'll tell you what I saw.
Yes.
I've been seeing on the internet is a lot of that plaited salmon, which just looks absolutely and so simple, where you take your piece of salmon. You slice it into three long strips, keeping the top intact.
Yes.
You plait it. And then literally you just make a beautiful teriyaki sauce, or you can buy one, roast it in the oven with some crunchy baby potatoes maybe and some grilled asparagus. And that just looks completely magnificent.
Mm. Now, would you serve that cold?
You could definitely serve it cold, or you could put it into a lovely salad. I mean, I saw you've got a beautiful Greek salad in your article.
This time of the year is always a lovely Greek salad. And I make, what I do, I make a salad dressing with what's that, blue vein cheese? What's this called
again? Roquefort. No, you can't get kosher roquefort. Yeah,
no, you get, it's a blue vein. I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, and I mush that down. And I mix it with a thing of my salad dressing, the bourbachars. I mix it together and I pour that over the Greek salad. Oh, it's delicious.
Sounds absolutely wonderful.
It tastes like a roquefort salad.
Yummy. And you could take your salmon, flake the salmon.
Yes.
And make a huge big salad, perhaps for lunch on Shavuot with some curly noodles, some fusilli noodles.
When I was invited out to family and friends, it seems to be that the big thing is one huge platter.
Yes.
They put that in the middle of the table and everybody just helps themselves.
And it just makes the wash up so much easier.
I think it's from that point of view.
Yes. And I'm seeing a lot of brown paper on countertops.
A lot of brown
paper.
No, they didn't know, funnily enough, they didn't know about brown paper. I said, oh, please, we need some brown paper to present it. No, they got me parchment paper, which is fine.
Yes.
And we served things on parchment paper and it was perfect. And as you say. You know, just
makes the cleanup
that
much.
Makes the cleanup a lot
easier. Because I think the point is to enjoy it with your family and friends.
Exactly.
Not to make it so elaborate that you're exhausted and...
Well, there's so much that you can actually put on. And the one, when I went to lunch at a cousin, she had this huge platter, as you said, with the all lined beautifully with her parchment paper. And on it was... the grilled salmon, boiled eggs, cheese, the salads, the so many different things, asparagus. That
I love that idea.
By the time you leave, you actually, and the breads. That was a big thing. All the different kinds of breads that you could have with it.
And there's so many beautiful breads even that you can buy now. All our kosher shops seem to have the most gorgeous bread at the moment.
Beautiful. And of course, for pudding, it was always cheesecake.
Yes.
And ice cream.
Delicious. And I mean, this
and it was meant to be summer there.
Not summer at
all. They said to me, thanks for bringing the lovely weather. I look at the temperature, it's like 14. I said, lovely weather. I mean, I was freezing.
I know,
all
we're
the
very
time.
Lucky here.
And then the sun comes out, the wind still gets you. But anyway, we are lucky. I mean, this is summer. Look out the window, how magnificent. I mean, this is winter. Look how beautiful
it's
it
beautiful.
Is.
It's beautiful. It's beyond beautiful.
Oh.
So you can get kosher teriyaki sauce here.
Yes.
Okay. Because otherwise I can give
Pesach,
you my recipe.
I know they bring it in.
Okay.
Yeah.
100%. So tell me what else you're making. Have you seen this chili crunch all over the
place?
Yes. Have you made chili crunch? I'm going to make chili crunch
too. I made it
too.
Once a few months ago. And it was actually quite a hit. It's really lovely. In fact, I must have a look at my fridge. I think I've still got some of that.
Yeah, otherwise,
good
I've
idea.
Got a recipe for some chili crunch because I thought I'd make a whole lot and bottle it.
Yes.
And keep it, as they seem to be putting on everything, on fish, on salads, even in soup I've seen it.
Well, you can drizzle. You can drizzle this on the onion soup that you made, the creamy onion soup.
Yes.
Or if you're going to make leek and potato.
That's a good idea. Let me give you my recipe. So you need 68 grams of dried garlic, which is literally the spice that you get from Woolworths. Then you need 47 grams of dried onions. Again, Woolworths calls it onion flakes, I think, which is the same thing.
Yes.
Half a cup of red chili flakes. Half a cup of toasted sesame seeds. 1/8 of a cup of sugar. 1 teaspoon of salt. a tablespoon of paprika. I need to put my glasses on.
It gives
it
the lovely colour, I would imagine.
Yes.
As well.
Mm-hmm. A quarter cup of soya sauce and 2.5 cups of avocado oil.
Could you use any oil?
I reckon you could. Any mild tasting oil. I wouldn't go for an olive oil because I think
that's... Look, if you want it really spicy, as my family do, I use the peri peri oil.
Wow, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And I guess you could also play with the amount of chili you're putting in if your family doesn't want it so spicy.
Correct.
Although it is a chili crunch. I have to interrupt. Do you know that rapeseed oil is the same as canola oil?
You know,
profound discovery I made.
Wow.
You know that the overseas recipes always talk about rapeseed oil.
Not and grape, it's rapeseed.
Yes, and I thought they just left off the G. Yeah. It's canola oil. Interesting, yes.
Okay.
Anyway, back
good
to the chili
know.
Crunch. Yes, profound. So, in a large heat-proof bowl, you're going to combine the dried garlic, dried onions, chili flakes, sesame seeds, sugar, salt, paprika, and soya sauce. Then you're going to heat the avocado oil in a saucepan until it reaches about 171 on your thermometer. I don't even do that. Yeah. I just combine it until it kind of, just before boiling point.
I'm bad with thermometers. Sorry,
yeah,
guys.
I don't. I should, but I don't. Carefully pour the hot oil over the bowl of ingredients and it's going to bubble and fizzle. And then you're going to stir it well and you're going to let it sit and settle for about 10 minutes. Once it's cooled, you're going to pour it into, I use small jars. And then I sterilize them before I pour them into the jars. I seal them. And when they cool, I put them into the fridge. Sometimes it looks like it's kind of solidified. You know, it's almost become hard. Just leave it out the fridge for a little bit and it becomes liquid again.
Okay.
So, yeah, so that's my chili crunch that I've been putting onto everything.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
You know, just to go off the subject a little bit, you know what I made for Shabbos? I made baked apples stuffed with raisins. Do you remember that old recipe our parents used to make?
Best.
My
yummy.
Mother, as my sister-in-law came to the table, she says to me, your mother.
With delicious
apples.
Ice cream.
And I used orange juice.
Yes.
And I always put a tablespoon of custard powder in. And it just thickens
into
the sauce up.
Into the orange
into
juice.
Into the orange juice.
That's
pour
clever.
That over. And let them bake. In fact, I was running out of time, so I put them in the microwave first.
Okay.
And they were fine.
Okay, sounds delicious.
Some people peel them, some don't, you know.
Everybody likes those. You just got to core them. Do you core out the
middle
of the apple?
Yes, you just core out the middle,
fill it
with raisins. You
and
can stuff it with dates. You can put pecan nuts in if you want to, crushed nuts. I just love raisins.
And it's just nuts. Gives your house such a beautiful smell.
Mm, and that's because, of course, you dust it with cinnamon. And
oh, yum, sure. Sounds delicious.
So that's off the subject.
Sounds
okay.
Delicious. So we were talking about the salmon with the teriyaki.
Yes.
Which is really beautiful just to do that plated salmon. Or you could do a whole big fillet of salmon. And you could plait one big piece and roast in the oven just with some teriyaki sauce. And I don't think it needs to be served hot. It can be served at room temperature.
Yeah. Why not?
Yes. So that also made me think about potato gratin. Do you make that? Because that's also beautiful to make.
Yes, that is lovely.
And I make such a simple one where literally I just slice up some potatoes.
Yeah.
I make a layer in a grease dish, sprinkle on about 1.5 teaspoons of flour, put tiny little knobs of butter on top of the potatoes, and I layer that, and then I just pour in some milk and a little bit of butter on top, and I bake it.
No cheese.
I don't put cheese at all.
Okay.
And it's beautiful. It's really, really beautiful to be served with a fish. Looks spectacular.
I put onions, layer onions as well.
Yeah, that's lovely and just gives it that extra flavor.
Yeah, absolutely. But it was another thing that I wanted to share that I saw there. And it was, I'm going to call it cream cheese sunflower. Okay, because it looked absolutely beautiful. What you do is you take a tub, 250 grams of cream cheese. And you put that in the center of a round platter. Okay. And then with using like the back of a large spoon, you press into the center of the mound and you pull the spoon outwards towards the edge of the plate in one like smooth stroke, and you have, and then lift up the spoon, and you've got this like leaf.
Oh,
looking thing.
I wish you could see.
Anyway, and you lift the spoon, and then you go back to the center, and you do it again, and you drag a bit of the cream cheese out.
Beautiful.
And you get all these like petals going all the way around. And then you still have like this mound, a little bit of a mound in the middle. I mean, you can use more cream cheese if you want.
And you can put some sesame seeds on top, then it'll look like the inside of the sunflower.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. So you get, in fact, what I would use is those mixed seeds. You can get them from anywhere. Mixed seeds. You get the toasted ones. And you put a mound of those because those have got sunflower seeds in there. That's beautiful. What I got the name from. And then, you know, you generously pour that on and then you sprinkle it with some olive oil.
Or chili crunch.
Or the chili crunch, yes. Exactly. You can put pomegranate seeds on top of it. So it really looks very beautiful, special. And then, you know, sprinkle a bit of za'atar on if you want to. And then you serve it with pita wedges or lovely hot bread, challah, whatever you want to do. I mean, for those who are healthy, of course, you can serve it with strips of carrot and cucumber and celery.
Be healthy on Shavuot.
Okay. So now we have to go to an ad break. And after the ad break, we are back with some lovely ideas for Shavuot.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
You're listening to Kosher Cravings with Sharon Lurie and Lauren Bilkin. And we're having fun. We're chatting about all sorts of different milchik ideas. You know, in London, they call it milky and meaty.
Milky and meaty.
Yeah. So here's my meaty drawer, Sharon, go to town, and here's my milky drawer, and there's my parv drawer, and there's my, I want to say that I cooked in some really beautiful kitchens. Wow.
Ah, beautiful.
Beautiful kitchens.
Do the girls cook in London?
They do. I find more so than America, funnily enough, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And, I mean, the vegetables, everything you get is like at Kosherables, already checked for you. It's terrific.
Beautiful.
It costs a bit extra, but it's worth it if you're doing a demonstration.
Yes, completely. Completely.
Although I had a mashkicha there 24/7. Mm. And, yeah, and basically, did you know that any simcha, anything under the Beth Din has to be Chal of Israel.
Oh, in London?
In London. Has to be Chal of Israel. Okay, which makes sense, I suppose.
I suppose so.
Yeah. It could be because they can get the most magnificent cheeses and milks, and they can get whatever they want, Chal of Israel.
It's a pity we can't get that here. It really
went
is
mad
a pity.
There with the Parmesan cheese. Every meal I just want Parmesan cheese.
Did you bring it all home? I do that.
I do, but my cases, let's just say, have not arrived. But I'm sure it'll be okay.
It's got the cheese in it.
Shh, you didn't hear that.
Anyway. Sha, do you ever make cheese burekas for Shavuot?
I do. And I have a very easy one, actually.
Yes.
I do a very simple one. What do you do with yours?
So I actually just do it on one big baking sheet.
Correct. That's
and I buy the ready puff pastry.
Correct, yes.
I layer out the puff pastry.
All the way to the edge
correct.
Of your tin. Correct.
And right. Then I make a filling with 230 grams of feta crumbled, 120 grams of mozzarella, which are great, 2 spring onions sliced, 1 egg yolk, about a teaspoon, just under, about 3/4 teaspoon of salt, remembering that feta can be salty.
Yes.
And I think you have to vary it depending on, because feta sometimes are more salty than other times.
Right.
And then some ground black pepper.
Right.
I spread it all over the puff pastry.
Yes.
I then take another layer of puff pastry, put it on top, and then I take a knife and I cut diamonds. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Where you go across and you space it and then you go in the opposite direction.
Okay.
I brush it with some egg. And then what I've been seeing is people are putting different toppings on.
Yes.
So you go one sesame, one za'atar, one poppy seed, one black sesame. And it looks beyond spectacular. It does.
Now, you do one less step than I do, and then yours is cleverer than mine.
I'll tell you what I do
the mixture, as you say. I put the pastry down. I do bake the pastry a little bit before.
Yes.
Just puffs up, not till it goes brown, and then I take it out, let it cool. And then I take an ice cream scoop, and I scoop it on. I think it's about 3 across.
Yes.
And then I take my second roll of pastry, put it on top, and then I egg wash in between all the little puffs that I've made.
To make it seal better.
To seal each one and make each one individual. But now you can get already made little squares. I know Rick does those little squares of puff pastry.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you can make a triangle.
Correct.
So you would fill the middle, maybe fill with a tiny teaspoon, fold it over.
Egg wash it.
Fold it over.
Yeah, egg wash again.
And sesame seeds. And yeah. That's magnificent.
That's beautiful. You can serve that with your soup. I mean, if you're making a nice creamy white onion soup, serve that on the side with the soup.
It's delicious. Just that extra bit of crunch.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious.
I'm getting hungry.
It's a very big problem. So let's talk about cheese blintzes, because I really did.
Yes.
That's my favorite part.
Okay. And just don't forget, you can get your blintzes already made, so you don't even have to make blintzes
anymore.
I was about to say
that there seems to be no point in standing and making the crepes.
No point.
No.
I agree. You know, everything we need to do, and this is what I learned in London, has to be quick and easy.
Yes.
Take a sauce, put that in. Take this sauce, put that in. Get ready made. Get the frozen garlic. You just plop it in, and it's... Anyway. So, let's get on to your blintzes.
All right, let me tell you about the cheese blintzes. So, you could even put some raisins into your cheese blintzes sauce. You could just make the plain cheese.
Yes.
And you... By the ready-made crepes.
You're talking about the sweet blintzes.
Sweet cheese blintzes. So what you're going to do is you're going to, like me, buy the ready-made crepes. And you're going to fill it with 500 grams of cream cheese, which has to be at room temperature. Same as when you're making a cheesecake.
Right.
Cream cheese got to be at room temperature. 125 grams of caster sugar. 2 egg yolks. 2.5 tablespoons of sour cream. Some grated zest of maybe half a lemon, a teaspoon of vanilla, and if you want, you could put in about half a cup of raisins or sultanas.
Yeah. Okay, your caster sugar, 125 grams, that's about half a cup.
Half a cup.
Yeah.
But then again, do it to your taste. I like very sweet cheese blintzes.
Yes.
And then you could debate. You could either bake them or you could fry them.
Right.
You know,
I like to bake them.
I like to fry them.
Explains a lot. And I learned many years ago, someone in Durban who was famous for her cheese blintzes, she pours a cup of cream on top.
And then
they puff up in there. Ooh.
So you make the cheese blintzes, you fold them in the sides, you roll them up, and you put them in your dish.
Put them in the dish.
In the grease dish.
You pour over the cream and you bake them on quite high. Because remember,
high like what?
Like
180, 200?
But like 190-ish. Okay. Or maybe 200. So just at the top just gets a little bit brown. And sprinkle cinnamon sugar on top.
Yes.
And you just bake.
Beautiful. Mm, absolutely.
But the cream. And it's funny enough, the cream also gets absorbed into the blintzer. But then, of course, we also have our savory blintzes, which also makes a nice meal, nice for lunch.
Yes.
Okay. And just warm them up in the oven.
And you could do spinach and ricotta.
It's in this month's
Jewish Life.
Jewish Life. I've given a recipe for the crepe batter, but buy the crepes a lot easier. And then mine is a 3-cheese sauce. I put tuna in the middle with curry, and then I do the 3-cheese sauce.
Delicious.
And you bake it again. Bake it again. In 3-cheese sauce.
Or you could do spinach and ricotta.
Correct.
In your crepes, you could put some grated cheese on top, and again, Or not grated cheese, Napolitana would do with that. And then bake it in the oven.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Mm.
Finish with whatever you want. And then pour anything savory. I mean, you can do curried vegetables if you want. And then just cover it with the three cream cheese sauce.
So I have to tell you what I ate on my travels, which was
completely magnificent.
I ate tuna rayas. Arayas. My children always say I mispronounce it.
Yes.
Arayas. How do you say it?
I say arrays.
I also say arrays.
Yes.
And they were fabulous. So, you know how you make the meat arrays?
Yes.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And you fill your pita bread with the meat and then you bra them?
Yes.
So, you could do the same with some fish.
Right.
I ate them with tuna, which was completely fabulous.
Yes.
And you could get your ready-made minced fish, about, I'd say about a kilo of minced fish. A handful of chopped parsley, a handful of chopped coriander, which if you don't like, leave it out. You know, you don't have to put the coriander. A small onion, finely chopped, a clove of garlic, the juice of one lemon, 3 tablespoons of mayo, 2 teaspoons of Dijon mustard, 2 teaspoons of date syrup. If you can't find, you can also leave that out. Teaspoon of turmeric. A teaspoon of paprika, 1 teaspoon of sumac, 1.5 teaspoons of sea salt, 1 teaspoon of black pepper, and this is enough for about 5 pittas.
Okay.
Which you can stuff, you brush with olive oil, and you do them on your braai.
Okay.
Absolutely magnificent.
Well, you can just get, we love it hot and spicy, so I just get... use the one of the dips, I think it's Romanian or the eggplant dip.
Yes.
Stuff that in as well.
Into the pita bread. And then you braai it as well.
You braai it.
Well, I suppose you could do it on a skillet pan.
Yeah, you could. But I also find that sometimes I have to bake it a little bit longer.
Just to...
Brine just doesn't somehow seem to get right into the middle.
Yes.
And that's what I do.
So I think it's a delicious dinner, even a midweek dinner.
Absolutely.
To do that.
Yeah.
Yummy.
And then I also have a recipe for waffles. I mean, waffles are such a big thing. And they are a big thing overseas as well, I must tell you. Toasted waffles, I think my grandson had every morning, toasted waffle with peanut butter, toasted waffle with jammed peanut butter, toasted waffle with a tuna spread, with the salmon spread. The salmon spread there's just on another level. Anyway, so you can do that as well on your platter. You remember I was talking about this, the big platter. Have some toasted waffles on the side and put some salmon as well on the salad and lots of thin onions rings and
so
capers
clever.
And olives and just go to town on this huge platter. You can actually make a table. What do they call it? Harvest table.
A harvest table.
Yeah. And just put everything onto brown paper.
The trick
and
is to have
go
fun.
And help themselves.
And they have fun eating off
of it. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And you have fun because you can sit there and you can say, Go on, help yourselves.
Exactly
you
that.
You don't have to do very much.
Yes. It's just you've got to be organized. You know, this is kind of the lesson is plan well in advance. Sit down today, plan it well in advance. And so by the time Thursday comes, you're chilled.
I'm ready. It's all set in my little Ziplocs and my little Tupperwares. And my
you're
little
excited about
glass
it.
Bowls that I managed to get
from
Pick and Pay with my stamps. Anyway, so now... What else are we going to share?
Should we head on to dessert?
I mean, as we walked in, they said, cheesecake time.
Yummy. So shall I give you the best cheesecake recipe that I actually made over Pesach and that I couldn't find when I was here last?
Isn't it marvelous that you can make over Pesach this beautiful cheesecake?
And it didn't taste Pesach. It's completely delicious.
Good.
So you're going to need a tablespoon of soft, unsalted butter, some baking paper. You're going to need 3 tabs of 250 mils of cream cheese. I like that one that looks like the Philadelphia that you get from Woolworths. I just like the texture of that.
Very important that it's got to be room temperature.
Got to be room temperature. Everything, in fact, for a cheesecake has to be room temperature.
I actually pull the silver off and I put it in the microwave for about 10, 20 seconds. Just to really soften.
It doesn't blend otherwise. It goes lumpy.
Yeah.
That's exactly. A cup of white sugar, 3 tablespoons of flour, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla, 4 jumbo eggs at room temperature. The jumbo is important. You've got to have those big, large eggs.
Yes, I agree with you there.
1 1/4 cups of thick cream. And what you're going to do is you're going to preheat your oven to 200 degrees. Then you're going to take your cake pan and you're going to grease it and you're going to line it with baking paper.
Very important.
Very important.
Baking paper, because it actually helps you get it out.
And also it gives the Basque cheesecake those folds, the ruffles. Exactly. That's right. And you're also then going to butter the paper and press it into the pan. You're going to trim away any excess paper from the sides, but you must keep a little bit of overhang, maybe 3 centimeters of overhang.
So that you can grip it.
As you said, right. So that you can get the cheesecake out. Then you combine your cream cheese, your sugar, your flour, and your salt. And you're going to stir it and you're going to smear it together. Do you know what I mean? You're going to actually, like you said, like you did with the cream cheese, you're going to blend it together with a spatula until it's very smooth and creamy. Then you add your vanilla and 1 egg. You whisk it, and then you whisk in the remaining eggs 1 at a time. You pour in your thick cream, and you mix until it's smooth. You then pour it into your prepared pan. And what you do is you take the pan and you bang it against your counter. That gets rid of the air bubbles.
Right.
I kind of do that with every cake I make, just to get rid of the air bubbles in the cake. Yes. And you bake it in your preheated oven until it's very puffed and very well browned. It almost looks like it's burnt for 50 to 55 minutes. Then you turn your temperature up to 220 for the last 10 minutes. Do you need to take an air break or should I carry on?
No, carry on. Finish it.
Then you let your cheesecake cool to room temperature for at least 25 minutes. You lift it onto your plate and you peel away the baking paper. And you put it into the fridge until it's chilled overnight or for at least 4 hours, and you can serve that with a beautiful berry coulis, you know, the gorgeous berries at this time of the year.
Oh, I love a Basque, because for gluten-free people, it's a win.
And
you don't have to have that base. I mean, the flour you can change to corn flour or something.
Corn flour, rice flour maybe. Would rice flour work?
I haven't tried rice, but corn flour works beautifully.
Beautifully.
Or potato flour, actually.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So I found, okay, let's take a break. And then I'm going to come back with a recipe for cheesecake. That's not mine, but I've got to try it.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
You're listening to the Kosher Craving Show, and I'm with Lauren Bulkin. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's Wife, or Boba Shah, as some people like to call me, and we are talking Shavuot and cheesecake. Okay, so this was a cheesecake from Jamie Geller, and I contribute a lot to her site, and so obviously I get all her lovely recipes, and this is one that I saw and I thought, okay, let me try it, because I'm always trying different cheesecakes. And my kids say, Ma, the minute you get a cheesecake right, we don't see it again. So this is make your nutty crust base, which is just a packet of nutty crusts and 150 grams of butter. Press it into your baking dish or whatever you're going to use for your cheesecake and press it with a glass. I found that works well, and put it in the freezer and make up the following filling. It's 750 grams of cream cheese. Okay, so that's three tubs or 3 containers. 3 eggs, 3/4 cup of icing sugar. Okay, which is interesting. And basically it's the same recipe as mine, but then she adds 1 1/2 teaspoons of vanilla extract, 2 tablespoons of corn flour, 1 1/2 cups of heavy cream, and 1/2 cup of milk with an awesome
Vanilla pudding.
Vanilla pudding.
Yes, I've seen that a lot.
Yeah. In fact, I use vanilla pudding in that milk toast. It's delicious.
See, I told everybody to stock up at Pesach time.
But this has got chalva in it. So it's a chalva cheesecake.
Oh, yum.
So here's the difference. Okay, and then 250 grams of crumbled chalva. And also, I get a little bit more chalva because I want to crumble some on top to show people that it's actually
chalva.
A chalva. You can as well, she says, you can add some toasted sugared pecans. And then what you do is just take out your base and mix your cream cheese, your eggs. Don't overdo it. Your icing sugar, your teaspoon of vanilla extract, 2 tablespoons of corn flour. I always use custard powder. That's just because my mother did. Then once you've mixed it all together with the cream and the milk, then you add the dessert, vanilla pudding, you add the chalva, mix it all together, and you cook it.
Use the custard powder instead of the corn flour.
I use custard powder instead of the corn flour.
Must give it a gorgeous flavour.
It just takes it to another level. And so many people say, what's the secret, Sharon?
Yeah.
That's it. I love sherry recipes. That's the secret. It's that custard powder. But you've got to mix it well. The custard powder in well. You can mix it with that little bit of milk.
Yes, just to dissolve it, maybe.
Yeah, and get like those little red flecks in the custard powder. So that really helps. And then I bake it on 180 for about 25 minutes, and then I switch off the oven, leave it for another 25 minutes. And that's a cheesecake. Remember, a cheesecake needs to be soft and wobbly in the middle. It's actually the fridge that is going to harden it, although mine never ever make it to the fridge. they get eaten straight away.
Why do cheesecakes crack? Because the cheese isn't at room temperature.
I think also because sometimes when they're overbeaten, they get a lot of air and then they
Is that why they
down.
Get that crack? Yeah. I mean, it actually doesn't worry me. I just put a topping on top or some berries or some chocolate. Or
just sift a little bit of icing sugar on top. But it doesn't have to be perfect as long as it tastes good. Then, of course, you can also melt bar one with half a cup of cream.
My face.
The big bar one. Melt that with half a cup of cream and zigzag it through. And then you've got a beautiful decadent chocolate cheesecake as well.
Sounds magnificent. Yeah. You know what I saw when I was scrolling through Instagram?
Yes.
Somebody took, you know those things that you make cookies in, muffin tins?
Yes.
She turned it upside down.
Yes.
She greased the upside down part. So you've got these mounds.
Right.
Greased it well, took 2 piping bags and piped on brown chocolate and white chocolate, and she made little cups.
Oh, clever.
And so they looked so easy and absolutely magnificent.
Yeah, because sometimes it's a battle like to get them out of that muffin tin.
Yes.
If you do it
on the top.
On the top.
Not inside, it's on top. And then it looked so simple, took them off the tops and filled them with the most beautiful desserts, custard, ice cream, anything.
Yeah,
absolutely.
As long as they're
gorgeous.
Cold.
As long as they're cold.
Otherwise you'll melt it. And don't forget about delicious, decadent bread and butter pudding. Get your latest Jewish Life, and there you will see the tuna blintzes with the 3-cheese sauce, the waffles, it never tasted so good, the Greek salad, your creamy white onion soup, and all those mouth-watering, delicious ideas for Shabbat. Any more?
I've got a white chocolate creme brulee. We could talk about that. Or we could talk about the Cajun salmon that I did once for the Jewish Report webinar, which is, it's just a win-win.
Do the brulee.
You want the brulee.
I've got to have that brulee.
All right. So
that's such a good idea. I'm going to make it.
And it's so, it is completely flop-proof. Completely flop-proof.
I've got to make that one.
So you need 568 sounds such a bizarre number.
Da-da.
Mils of cream. 100 grams of white chocolate.
Okay, so it's
it's a bit more. Sean,
more?
Because
258.
568.
Oh, it's bizarre. About another 2 tablespoons.
Yes. 100 grams of white chocolate broken into pieces.
Yes.
And that's important. I think you've got to either use the cooking chocolate or I use the Cadbury's Dream if you're not Chalav Yisrael, because yes, that melts beautifully.
Yes,
the
it
Nestle
does.
The Nestle one doesn't melt. It kind of clumps.
Yeah, I like the white chocolate.
I also like white chocolate. A teaspoon of vanilla extract, 6 egg yolks, 2 tablespoons of caster sugar. And what you're going to do is you're going to heat the cream, the chocolate, and the vanilla until the chocolate has melted. Then you take it off the heat and you allow it to infuse for about 10 minutes.
The secret is it's not allowed to boil, correct?
Yes, yes. Then you're going to turn your oven to 160. You're going to beat the egg yolks and the sugar until pale and fluffy. So what I've discovered is if you take your beater, it must make a ribbon on the top.
Okay.
And then you kind of know it's reached where it has to be. You stir in your chocolate cream. And then what you're going to do is you're going to put it into a greased Corningware I use.
Yeah.
And you bake it for 35 minutes. And then you've got to refrigerate it for 5 hours to set.
Do you have to put it in bain-marie, in water?
Sorry, I left that part out. Yes. Oh, yes.
In water, okay.
Yes. So what you're going to do is you take your dish and you put it into a bain-marie. Mm-hmm. You know, so a bain-marie is a dish that is bigger than the dish that you're using.
Correct.
That you fill with water. And that allows the custard to cook. Thank God. Thank God you told me. Yes. Good. Okay. And then we're up to the part where you put it into the fridge to set. And then just before you're ready to serve it, you sprinkle on a little bit of sugar and you take a blowtorch and you blowtorch it until it's crispy. Or you can just put it into the oven for a few minutes under the grill and it does exactly the same thing.
Right.
I like the blowtorch. I think it's fun.
Ah, I enjoy blowtorch.
And you serve
too.
That again with your berry coulis, which is absolutely magnificent.
And of course, do you know what helps the setting? That chocolate. The chocolate firms up in the fridge,
okay,
which helps with the setting.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's very important to have the chocolate. And then the egg whites.
You have the chocolate regardless.
And the egg whites, of course, we make a beautiful pavlova with. Fill it with cream. So I love meringue and cream. Lots of strawberries. And there's your other dessert.
Beautiful.
Huh?
Absolutely beautiful.
Okay, so there's some lovely ideas for a lovely milchik. As I say, we have it for lunch. You know, on Shavuot, when I used to do evenings as well, because this year we're going to our rabbi. Okay, we've got to go for an ad break.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
You're listening to the Kosher Cravings. I'm Sharon Lurie, and we're talking to Lauren Bulkin, and we are sharing decadent recipes for Shavuot, our Milky Festival, our Milchik one. And we were talking about
white chocolate creme brulee, and then we were talking about pavlovas. We've got so much to say, not enough time.
Yeah, and as I was saying, I just love meringue and cream and all those beautiful fruits that go on it. There's nothing like meringue and cream. And it's got to be a sort of sticky meringue. Mustn't be too hard.
Yes, got to have that mushy inside. And we're getting ready for Wimbledon anyway.
Exactly.
You've got to practice the cream and the strawberries.
Yeah, Roland Garros before. Love my tennis. Okay, so we've gone through quite a few things. Any other decadent kind of thing that you can think of?
Asparagus tart is making a comeback.
Oh, of course.
Have you noticed all over those old-fashioned asparagus tarts?
I made asparagus soup, and it's in London, because now we can get the asparagus in the bottles.
Yes.
I think it's Staines or somebody just does asparagus, which is fabulous. I mean, I love, as you said, love asparagus tarts. And I make asparagus soup in a very similar way. You just make a white sauce. You add the chopped up asparagus. You can blend it if you want to.
Yes.
And with cream, and I add cheese, and I add more milk to it, and I just blend it up with some, you can use onion stock, you can use paro of chicken stock. It just gives it that nice soupy vavum.
Yes, and then you could roast some asparagus, maybe some of those green asparagus, put them under the grill and just garnish it with those beautiful green asparagus, maybe some flaked almonds. It looks so professional.
Absolutely, and it's so simple. But don't forget that when you're making the white sauce, use the brine that the asparagus are in the bottle, if you're using bottled or...
Instead of the milk?
With the milk. Yeah, you've got to use milk as well. And then you see how thick you want it to be. Yeah, add a little bit more milk and a little bit more mezzina and milk if you wanted to thicken it up.
Yes, that's what I was explaining to somebody, is that even if you make a vegetable soup and you cook it too long and you notice that they're just vegetables and not enough, just add some more stock.
Exactly.
And you've got your soup.
And add a little bit more tomato to your vegetable soup. Also, just lifts it somewhat. So I think we have sort of covered it. Your challahs for Shavuot.
Maybe you could make a brioche challah for Shavuot because you can make it milk.
Yeah. You know. I do it with a lot of onion and feta and a little bit of garlic.
And then you could put flowers on top. I've seen a lot of people making have you seen how spectacular with the edible flowers on top and the little purple flowers.
And edible flowers, which take any salad to another
next level.
Yeah.
I know. Just...
Okay, now that I'm hungry, I'm ready to go.
Thank you for having me.
It's been wonderful having you. And have a good Yontif and Chag Sameach and enjoy all your meat, milk things. And at night, as I say, we have meat. Yes. But we've shared a lot of meat recipes that everybody can turn to.
This is exciting and different.
This is different.
Yes. Thank you for having me, Sha.
Thank you, Vuzzy. And thank you for everybody involved.